ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, 4th chapter, text 34. Chapter entitled Transcendental Knowledge. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshante te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport: the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for the spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So thank you all for your kindly coming to the Sunday feast. I was reading the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first chapters of the Bhagavatam, the introduction, explains how Parikshit Maharaj was a Raja Rishi. He was not just a king, but he was also a saintly person. And he was cursed to die in 7 days. So he was about to die in 7 days. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains he was actually the king of the whole planet. Even if we have some possessions, we are so attached. But imagine being a king of the whole planet. But he was so detached. Bhagavatam explains, just like after using the bathroom, we flush it. We don't think twice before pushing the flush button. Similarly, when he was given the notice, you're going to die in 7 days, he was like, okay, fine. So he renounced everything and he approached a bona fide spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj, he was fasting from everything, food and water. And he approached his spiritual master and he asked him, you know, I'm about to die in 7 days. So what is my duty as a human being? What is a man that's just about to die? What's his duty? How do I make my life complete? And his guru, his spiritual master, very much appreciated this question. And he explained that the guru explained to Parikshit Maharaj, this is a very wonderful question. And when you approach a spiritual master, this is the kind of questions you should ask him. And Sukadeva Goswami explained, in one way or other, everybody is about to die. At least you have 7 days notice, because most of us, we don't know if we have 7 seconds. So in that sense, the question Parikshit Maharaj asked was so relevant, not only just for him, because he is a pure devotee, he's asking on behalf of us. And Sukadeva Goswami explained to him how to attain perfection. So the example is given, this is how we must prepare ourselves. Even if we don't have the notice, we all can use our intelligence and we can understand, you know, this life is actually preparation and death is like an examination. And it's just around the corner. The example is given, if you're living in an apartment, most people don't own houses anymore, so expensive. If you're living in an apartment and the landlord gives you a notice, you know, you have to vacate, give you like 2 weeks notice. Any person who's like normal would, you know, think about finding another apartment and think about moving. If somebody is like painting their walls and mowing their lawn and decorating their house, it shows that there's something wrong. It's not a normal behavior. Similarly, every one of us is given notice. So, real intelligence is shown by the way how we live our lives. Are we materialistic? Are we just focused on temporary perishable things? Like Jesus said, this life is like a bridge, the human form of life is bridge between us and the kingdom of God. And nobody builds houses on bridges. So depending on how we live our lives, it shows how informed we are. Our teacher, Srila Prabhupada, used to give this example often that a human being, if an animal is sent to a slaughterhouse, he doesn't freak out, he doesn't know anything. Like in India, we've actually seen this example. If there's goats are being sacrificed, some people that worship demigods, they worship the sacrificed goats. And because nowadays you go in the supermarket, there's so much meat like wrapped in a plastic bag, you don't even know where it's coming from, you know. You don't know how much suffering the animals are going through. You just buy something wrapped up and stick it in the oven. But the Vedic teachings explain, if you're so attached to eating meat, then you kill yourself. And then you witness how much the animal is going through and you go through all the hard work. And once in a month you can eat meat. So that's for like less intelligent people. So when the animals are being sacrificed, the first goat is being slaughtered, but the guy in the queue, he's eating grass and having sex and looking very blissful. He doesn't think, you know, I'm the one next in the line, you know. But a human being, we shouldn't live like that. Our grandfather is passed away, our father is passed away, all around people are getting diseases and death and so much going on, but still we are so optimistic about squeezing some juice out of like material things. That's not a sign of intelligence. So it's explained that we should inquire, atatha brahma jigyasa. We should ask questions. Who I am, where I'm coming from, where I'm going, why good things happen to bad people, why bad things happen to good people. Is there life after death? Who is God? If we ask these questions, then that's a sign of human being. That's the only difference actually between human and animals. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pasubir naranam. Four things are common. The animals are eating, we are eating, they're having sex, we defend, we sleep. But human beings are given intelligence so we can inquire higher, we can ask questions. So that's the beauty of the human form of life. And it's explained that when we want to understand spiritual subject matters, we must accept a bona fide spiritual master. There's a science, just like anywhere, any educational institute you enroll yourself, there's classes, there's books, there's rules, there's regulations. Similarly, in spiritual life also, there are things you do if you want to be successful. The problem is, like we approach spirituality like a hobby or something. You know, once in a while, you know, you go to the temple when you get chance, and if everything works out fine, the weather is fine and your health is fine, you have nothing else to do, and maybe once a year, you know, go to the temple, put few coins in the hundi and leave it at that. So if we approach spirituality like that, that shows that we are not informed, because according to the Vedic teachings, if whatever consciousness we have at the time of death, that's what decides our next life. The body is like the cage and the soul is like the bird. So we're not the body, we are the soul within the body, and the soul is transmigrating. So this life is just a spark in the journey that we're going through. So this life we have taken birth, and all of us can see there are problems, you know, there's birth, death, disease, old age, there are anxieties. There's so much we're going through. This world is actually very temporary. So Bhagavad Gita explains, by becoming God conscious, we can actually put an end to this samsara. That's what Buddha called it, nirvana. We can actually end this repeated birth and death and attain our original consciousness, original spiritual existence. So if we just approaching Krishna in a casual way, once in a while, it's also beautiful. It's better than being an atheist. But still, it won't give us the desired result of attaining freedom from birth, death, disease, old age. So Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that we should understand the subject matters. This is not an option. This is not a detail. It's so important in everybody's life. And Krishna explains, we must understand this truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. It's like our teacher Srila Prabhupada. Before he came to United States, he's the first one to come to America that didn't claim to be God from India. Yogis, gurus, everybody else claims that they're God. So when Prabhupada came, he gave a system, a practice, a sadhana bhakti. There's two kinds of bhakti. There's two kinds of spiritual path. One is practice. We have to practice just like a child. When a child is asked to go to school, he doesn't want to go. He wants to play in the sand pit all day and run around, play with Play-Dohs, because he doesn't think far. But the parents know, whether you like it or not, you have to do it, because it's good for you. Mode of goodness means, in the beginning it tastes like poison, but the end you're so glad you did it. That's mode of goodness. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he gave spiritual practice. Chanting of the Hare Krishna, just like we were singing the Hare Krishna mantra with musical instruments. Same mantra we chant every morning on beads. Mala. 16 rounds, minimum 2 hours. But if you're a beginner, you don't have to chant 2 hours. You can chant something. And we can read Bhagavad Gita. So this is the sadhana bhakti. And by doing so, the day will come where we cannot live without this chanting and reading of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not an artificial imposition. It's the natural position of the soul. It's to always be connected to God and always hear about God and glorify God and be in this, like a fish in the water. So this sadhana bhakti is so important. If we take to chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or Srila Prabhupada explained that if we chanted 16 rounds every day and, you know, approached Bhagavad Gita through a spiritual master, we will definitely put an end to this repeated birth and death in this material world. So to approach a spiritual master is very, very important. This is Krishna's system. There is a very nice example that comes to my mind to illustrate this point of accepting a spiritual master, because this is what Krishna wants. And when we do what Krishna wants, even though it may not make sense to us, but Krishna is pleased. There was this old man who was very, very fond of collecting paintings, artworks. And this man's son was actually in the military. And it so happened that the son died in the military, and one of the son's friends drew a painting of the son when the son was alive. And after the son passed away, one day he came to the house of this old man, and he was like, and the old man opened the door and he gave, you know, look at this beautiful painting of your son. And the old man was so happy to see the painting of his son, you know. And he added it to the collection of paintings he had. And one day it so happened that the old man also passed away. And then all the paintings came in auction. They were selling the paintings. They were about to do an auction. And there's like millionaires in the auditorium waiting to buy paintings. And they had so many famous paintings. But the first painting that came in auction was this painting of the sun. And everybody thought, we don't even know who this guy is, you know, why they're wasting our time showing this painting, you know, get it out of the way. So somebody said, you know, whatever you want, I'll give you $50, okay, get that painting out of the way, so we can go to the real paintings. And then as soon as this person bought the painting of the sun for $50, the guy who was running the auction, he said, auction finished. So everybody was like, what do you mean? We just about to start. And he said, no, when the old man left, he has written a will saying, whoever buys the painting of my son gets all the other paintings, all my estate, all my bank balance, everything. So you cannot argue. How can you argue? Because everything belongs to this person, and he can dispose it however he likes it. Similarly, Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's set up this system. We may not like it, because many times it's just like when one of our friends, he was coming along to Krishna consciousness. He was arguing like, why this guru in between me and God? Why? What is this guru, you know? It's me and God, you know. But unfortunately, it sounds good, but I'm sorry, you know, it's not up to me. You cannot negotiate with me. This is how it's been set up eternally. So I'm sorry, you know, you have to go through the spiritual master. There's no way out. And it's a very beautiful process. Like we read in this purport, the spiritual master is very, very merciful. Very, very merciful. And in the material world, we actually want to become the master of the master of the master. Everybody wants to be the center of attraction. You know, iPod, iMac, you know, you name it. It's all I, me, and my, mine, you know. It's all about me. I'm the center of attraction. We don't even know anything outside. We are so absorbed. It's like this joke they were saying, this is a joke, don't get offended or anything. There was an African, there was an European, there was an American, they were talking about, the topic was food shortage outside of America. So the African asked, what does it mean, food? And the European said, what does it mean, shortage? And the American said, what does it mean to be out of America, outside of America? So it's all about like so absorbed, you know, I, me and mine. But in the spiritual life, in the spiritual world, the more you become subordinate, the more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, immediately you're recognized by the Supreme. There is actually a beautiful pastimes happen in South India. There was this great devotee called Kanchipurna. He was so personal with God. He was actually fanning this deity of Vishnu in South India. And the deity would talk to him. So there was this laborer class of men who was very fond of Kanchipurna. So he was always serving Kanchipurna. And one day he said to him, sir, when you talk to Krishna, Vishnu next time, can you please ask him if I will come back to him some stage? And Kanchipurna was fanning Vishnu and he said, what do you think about this person? You know, he's asking me to ask you. And Vishnu said, he will come back to me in this lifetime. And Kanchipurna was surprised. Okay. And Kanchipurna thought, you know, if he can come go to Vishnu in this lifetime, I can surely go also. But let me just check anyways, out of, you know, just inquiry. So he said, what about me? You think I can come back to you? And Vishnu said, no, you cannot come back. And he was like, what do you mean? This person can come back to me? I cannot, you know. And Vishnu said, yes, he can come back to me because he's attached to you and he serves you, but you have no guru. You don't serve anyone. You just serve me directly. So that's not the process. So this person, even though he's so famous as the person known to be personally speaking with God, nobody will accept him as a disciple. Everybody's like, what are you kidding? You're joking? So he had to disguise himself and go and work in the cowshed of a great devotee in another city altogether. And then he came back and then Vishnu said, yeah, now I'll think about it. So this is the process. It's also explained in another pastime, this famous guru named Ramanujacharya. He had a very, very celebrated disciple called Kuresh. And Kuresh was such an amazing, exalted, exemplary disciple that he was always thinking of his spiritual master. Not even a moment, he was so selfish. One time they got this nice bedding for his spiritual master. All the disciples got them for Ramanujacharya. So they found Kuresh lying down in the bed. So all the god brothers chastised Kuresh. What are you doing? You know, it's for our spiritual master. Why are you lying down? He said, I'm just testing to see if it's comfortable for our guru. We cannot offer it just like that. We have to make sure. And another time, Ramanujacharya was spreading Krishna consciousness like a wildfire. And there was this king who was a big Shiva devotee. Even in Hinduism, there's so many fanatics, you know, it's not just like outside. So this fanatical devotee of Shiva, he was like so mad, you know, what is this, you know, Vishnu worship? Shiva is the supreme. And somebody told him, as long as Ramanujacharya is alive, it's no way you're going to spread your beliefs. So he wanted to bring Ramanujacharya to the court. And Kuresh said, my dear Lord, my guru, if you go to the court, this guy is so obnoxious. I don't know what he's going to do to you. Let me go. Why do you have to deal with this kind of people? I will go. So Kuresh went to the court. The disciple took on the clothes of the guru and went to the court. And he defeated the king. But the king, being so arrogant and so egoistic, ordered that the guards kill him, even though he was defeated. The king was defeated. But the guards took him to a forest to kill him, but the guards looked at this person and said, how can we kill such an amazing person, you know? But they thought, we have to do something, otherwise the king will kill us. So they poked Quraysh's eyes out. But Quraysh, with folded palms, was thanking these guards. Thank you so much. And the guards were like crying, like, why are you thanking us? You know, we're so sorry we did this to you. He said, no, my guru was supposed to suffer this, but you gave me the opportunity to go on his behalf. Suffer this pain on his behalf. It's an extreme example, but it's a history, it's true. So this Quraysh found out that his spiritual master is going to finish his preaching in this earthly planet and go back to the kingdom of God. Great yogis and saints can understand these things when they can leave at their will. They're not bound to old age and death. So Quraysh went to Vishnu. And he was saying, my guru is about to leave, but I don't want to see his departure. You think I'm qualified? He's speaking to God. Quraysh is saying, do you think I'm qualified that I can go before him to the spiritual world and arrange everything to, and then I'll be there to receive him? And Vishnu said, what to speak of you, Quraysh? Whoever you point finger at, they can all go. Whoever is connected to you, they can all go, even if it's a dog or bat or cat, anybody. If you say so, they can go back. And then this news was brought to Ramanujacharya, and he was dancing in ecstasy with his chadar in the air. And everybody asked him, like, why are you dancing? Your favorite disciple is about to die. He said, Vishnu said anybody who's connected to him can go, so I'm also connected to him. So I have hope. So there's so many unlimited examples about the importance of approaching the bona fide spiritual master. It's okay to approach Krishna consciousness in a lukewarm way, you know, but it's not very fruitful. So it's a science. We're here, might as well, why not understand deeply and take it seriously, especially the Bhagavad Gita, you know. Even though we're born, many of us from India, we don't even have read the Bhagavad Gita once, cover to cover. No wonder our lives are so problematic. Because Bhagavad Gita, Krishna so kindly have spoken for our help. It's like a health book, it's like a GPS. If you have a GPS and you're going somewhere and you wouldn't want to use it, and you say, I will figure it out. How can you figure it out? It's just going to waste gasoline and time, and you'll go in circles and circles and birth after birth, you know. So Bhagavad Gita is there to help us understand how to be in this world, how to be happy in this world, and how to attain the spiritual world in next life. So it's not an option. Everybody must read this Bhagavad Gita. And chanting of Hare Krishna mantra on beads. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the recommended process for self-realization in this day and age. Easiest and most powerful. Everybody can do it. It's not very difficult. It's free. You can pick up a set of beads. In LA, everybody is stuck in traffic for 3 or 4 hours a day. We can chant, you know, a few rounds. It takes 10 minutes. Doesn't hurt. Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, it takes hard labor to go to hell. But to going back to God is so easy. You just have to read Bhagavad Gita and chant the holy names of Krishna. And by doing so, we will start to understand things as they are. Just like if you're sleeping and you have an important business, you may be dreaming that you're a king or a queen, or you're flying, or you're in a hotel, or this or that. But when the alarm rings, the reality is completely different. You remember the important appointment. Similarly, right now, we're in illusion, dreaming about this and that. and giving priority to the insignificant temporary things which are binding us in unlimited karma. But by taking to the chanting of the Hare Krishna, it's like an alarm clock, wakes the soul up to the reality we will understand all these things we're discussing. It's a very beautiful process. It's a science. So we have to understand these things. We have to read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, and approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire submissively, and then we can understand things as they are. Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prabhadyate. After many, many millions of births, one who is wise will approach me, Krishna says. In the Vedic teachings, it's explained there are 8,400,000 species of lives. Just like we have a human form, and inside is the soul that's animating this body. Similarly, there's a soul inside a microbe, also inside the heart of an elephant. So inside each body there's a soul. Just the bodies are like apartments. According to our karma, we're getting a different kind of apartment. Depending on how much salary you have, you can either live in Malibu Beach or you live downtown somewhere homeless shelter. Similarly, according to our karma, you get a certain type of body. Sometimes we are human, sometimes we are dog, sometimes we are microbe. So these bodies are unlimited and we are transmigrating in the birth and death, but to get a human form of life, extremely rare. Very, very rare. And in human form of life, to come across a bona fide spiritual path is also very, very rare. So having taken, human form and coming across a spiritual science, and we don't take it seriously, that's a very unfortunate position. So we have to take to this spiritual path of chanting the holy names of God and reading and accepting a bona fide spiritual master. In this way, they'll be quick. The path, the progress will be really quick. I'll end with the last example. Just like if you're cooking with a smoke or a wet wood, there'll be like a lot of smoke. But it will take you years or ages to make a prep. But if you have a dry firewood that's blazing fire, then you can cook. Just like my mom made about 10 preparations today, about 18 devotees ate, but she made them in 1 hour. She had full flames, you know. If you're to cook with like some wet wood, it's going to take for ages. Similarly, if we approach spirituality in our own way, you know, I will figure it out, this is what I think, this and that, then it's going to take ages for us to go anywhere. It's like rowing a boat with the anchor, without removing the anchor. But if we approach Krishna consciousness according to the teachings of how Krishna and the bona fide teachers are giving, then it'll be really quick. So I'll end there. If you have any questions or comments, we can discuss. We have like a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu. No, it's just, this, like, just like a gardener, expert gardener. He's asking why Krishna was asking Arjuna and the Bhagavad Gita to fight. He should be impartial to both sides. Why he's taking sides? But just like an expert gardener, the example is given, when he's watering, there's like rose plants and also there's like weeds. There's thorny things, useless things. So the gardener has to uproot these weeds so these nice plants and vegetables can grow. Similarly, this is Krishna's planet. This is Krishna's energy. And Krishna wants to make sure the guy in charge, is a saint, is a person, is a sadhu, is of a good character, who will lead the citizens. And in the Bhagavatam it's explained, don't become a guru, a mother, father, a spiritual master, a politician, or a demigod, if you cannot deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. So it's the responsibility of a leader to make sure that the people that follow him are delivered from birth and death. So if any rascal is in position and encouraging everybody to, you know, perform bad karmic activities, and all the citizens are going to hell, that's what kind of leader is that? That's like called Andha. Andha yathandair upaniyamana tepishu tantra urudam nibadha. Bhagavatam says, if one person is blind and he's saying, come on, I will help you cross the road, you know. How can you cross? You cannot even see yourself. But if you can see, you can help 10,000 people cross the road. Similarly, Krishna wanted to make sure that the person in charge is of good character and is a bhakta. So he was wanting to put Arjuna in the seat and remove all the Kauravas, like just like removing weeds, because they're rascals, they're atheists. He wants to give Arjuna to credit. He wants to give the credit to Arjuna. Even though Krishna is the one who decided that all these Kauravas should go, but he wanted to give the credit to Arjuna. Just like Hanuman went to Lanka, Ram could have gone. Ram was acting like a human being, throwing pebbles in the ocean. But Hanuman looked like more powerful than Ram. But it's not true. Ram wanted to give that credit to the devotees. So Krishna is saying, I already killed all these Kauravas, but you take the credit. That makes sense? Not lonely. He just wants to glorify his devotees. Krishna is impartial, just like a judge. Some people, judges awarding $1 million, some people is hanging them to death. It's not like judge is lonely or is partial. Depending on how you are, then Krishna reciprocates accordingly. If you're nice, then you, for devotees, it's very special. Any other questions or comments? Yes? It's a beautiful question. Prabhu is asking, is it important to worship demigods or just worship Krishna as enough? Krishna explains, just come to me. Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam. Anybody, most of you speak Hindi, what is ekam means? Only. Mam ekam saranam vaja. Krishna doesn't say do, teen, char. And then he says, aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya. Dharma, actually, it's a good word. Dharma means eternal religious principles. So Krishna is not even saying sarva adharman parityajya. Krishna is saying even dharman parityajya. So Krishna is saying, forget about everything, just come to me. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example. If you have a tree, it's got hundreds and thousands of leaves and branches and twigs. But anybody who knows, they pour water in the root and immediately everything gets nourished. Like most of you that have job and income, you pay tax to the government, and the government maintains the jails and hospitals and schools and roads and everything. You don't go individually, okay, $5 to the jail, $5 to the hospitals, $5. No, you just... So similarly, like also another amazing example, you put food in the stomach, the whole body gets energized. Similarly, you just focus on Krishna, then everybody is pleased. If you just worship Krishna, Durga, Ganesh, Shiva, Brahma, everybody is happy, they will all bless you. No, you don't have to worship. We don't have to disrespect them. A Vaishnava even respects an ant. But we don't foolishly call the devatas as God. See, the word in Bhagavan means there is nobody equal to or greater than him. That's the word Bhagavan. If we have Shiva as Bhagavan, Ganesh as Bhagavan, you know, Durga as Bhagavan, then it defeats the word meaning Bhagavan. So that means there's so many gods. God means there's nobody equal to him or greater than him, according to the Shastra, and Krishna is that Bhagavan. And everybody else, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sababrit. Just like when you go to the White House, there's a president, but there's so many typists and receptionists and car drivers and bodyguards. They may all be Americans, they may all live in the White House, but they're not all presidents, they're all the servants of the president. Similarly, Devatas, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you see, on the altar. He's not working hard and paying tax. He's playing flute eternally and having fun with his girlfriend. The demigods are working, doing the job, you know, Kali, Durga, Shiva, Ganesh. They're all taking care of the material universe on his behalf. So just by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and focusing Krishna, everything else is taken care of. It's like watering the root of the tree. I think it's about time to stop. Yes, Mother. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. All the demigods are worshipping Krishna. Because they're not like us. In illusion and maya parita jnana, you know, knowledge stolen by illusion. They know for sure that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're telling us also. Just like there is Rudra Sampradaya. There's a sampradaya, a disciplic succession coming down from Lord Shiva. And the Bhagavatam says, Vaishnavana Metta Sambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotees of Shiva. So there's a whole disciplic succession coming from him. And they're all telling us, chant Hare Krishna. And the sampradaya, the disciplic succession we are in Krishna consciousness, it's coming from Lord Brahma, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Brahma is saying, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ganesh wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam says Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. So Ganesh is not in Maya. So they all know except us. So we are the ones who have to worry about ourselves. We don't have to worry about the demigods if they know about Krishna. Jai, thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.